We are in a series called Looking Back to Look Forward. Some say back to the future. Maybe there's some link to that. Looking back to look forward. We're going to read from the passages from Leviticus 9, 22 to 24, and then from Hebrews 10, 1 and 9 to 14. So at a count of three, would you join me to read scripture together? One, two, three. Then Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. Hebrews 10:1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of gathering together as your people, worshiping you with our songs in spirit and in truth. And as we gather today, God, we anticipate what you're about to do in and through our hearts, through the preaching of your word. God, and may I be faithful to even your word as your word is delivered today. God, we pray that every person here will encounter you in some way, even as we listen to your voice this morning, Holy Spirit. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take your seats in the presence of God. Now, we are in a new series. We talked about the book of Deuteronomy last weekend, and Pastor Daniel preached a great word about the nation and the people and how we should live in light of the Ten Commandments. And we are in this series because it's so important that every year we go back to some of the books of the Old Testament to see what God is doing and to reveal even Jesus even through the books of the Old Testament. All right? And so someone said this before, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So there we have it, and it's so important to go back to reveal Christ even in the Old Testament. Now, on the topic today, which we've entitled Christ in Leviticus, or Discovering Christ in Leviticus, some people say pronounce Leviticus as Leviticus, and I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but I pronounce it as Leviticus, all right? Leviticus is a book that is not really read by people through. I think some of you would agree with that when you read halfway, you stop halfway because somehow you can't finish because it's not so relevant, right? Someone said this about Leviticus. It's akin to a terms and conditions document where you click agree, but you not naturally have read what was inside the terms and conditions. Does it make sense? Maybe some of us do that ongoing. You know, we have updates of our software and our phones, or we try to sign up for something, and there's a terms and conditions document where you skim through, you get through it, you agree, and you sign up, and you say yes, but you have not read it. Leviticus, it's somewhat like this for some of us because we have not actually read in detail what are some of the things in the book of Leviticus. But today, we of course don't have time to go back to, and look at all the details. But the goal today is to point to Jesus. The goal today is to reveal Christ in Leviticus. And the big idea today is simply this: Christ is enough. Someone say, Christ is enough. We have sung this song, Christ is enough, perhaps numerous times. Some of you, maybe that's your favorite song. You love singing a song because you love declaring it, because and you really believe it, that Christ indeed is enough for whatever situation you may be going through in your life right now. And indeed, he is enough for us. And today, my goal is to expand even what enough means, perhaps not just in your current situation, but what who Christ is, even in the Old Testament, who he is in Leviticus, and how there was a journey of revealing who this God is, because Christ indeed is enough. And we're going to dive straight into just two main points, and the third one, I'll just wrap it up together. And we're going to dive into the first point, and it's simply this: the weight of sin. Someone say the weight of sin. If Exodus was a book where Moses was given the blueprint of how to build a tabernacle, then Leviticus is the book where laws were given to the people to know how to live their lives out in community. And these laws were very detailed. These laws were life-threatening because it can kill you, because if you don't obey it, there you go. Some of these laws are absurd. Even if you go through it now, it doesn't really make sense for today. Like for example, this verse says that if a child doesn't treat his mother well, the father can kill him. I'm paraphrasing. Wow. Scary, right? Who among us can live in that light? But here's the thing. This God came to dwell among the people, and he desired that he's just redeemed the people of Israel out of Egypt unto himself. What an astounding miracle, and you read that in Exodus, what happened, right? But can I paint a picture to you? And I think a lot of us here have watched recently this video where a lady fell into lava. Familiar? Maybe some of you have. But by the way, it looks so real, but the video is not exactly real. But it's done so well that you almost feel the pain of falling into lava, right? But here's the point. Lava can be nice to see from a distance, magnificent to behold from a distance, beautiful from a distance, but you don't want to get too near to lava. The same with the sun. You don't want to stare at it, right? You don't want to look at it too long. In fact, you don't want your children to stare at the sun, let alone your own selves. Why? Because while it's magnificent, while it's great to behold, it's beautiful, but it's so powerful that it can destroy a person if you do not take care of your distance and the way you approach lava or the sun. The same thing in the Old Testament, that this God came to dwell among his people, but it was dangerous. And that's why the laws needed to be in place. That's why people needed to know how to live with one another through offenses. How do you actually settle offenses? And by the way, this verse says, for the life of a creature, verse 11 of chapter 17, is in the blood. And I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. There's power in the blood. There's life in the blood. You know, when we all sin, when we all hurt someone, we have to make restitution, right? I mean, for example, recently, SEA Games, I mean, we just printed a nation's flag upside down. And something had to happen. Besides an apology, something had to happen, whether you reprint the booklets again and you say sorry, right? You cannot just say, okay, sorry, you know, that's it, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. But there has to be some kind of restitution, and that's exactly what happened as well in the past, that there's something that needed to take place through a blood sacrifice. Now, Leviticus 1-7, chapters 1-7, talks about a lot of different sacrifices that were made, where there's offerings that were made, public offerings like the burnt offering, like the sin offering, like the fellowship offering, the grain offering, the wave offering, so many types of offerings. And I encourage you to go back and read these chapters, because we can't talk about the whole book of Leviticus in just one sermon. Come on, you know. But go back and read it, because there's so much truth in that, principles of that you can discover and see how do we then live in light of what God was doing among his people, and why did he set these laws or offerings in place. It was bloody. I said that word. Bloody, messy, costly. It was tedious to offer these sacrifices. Really messy. Really messy. And I want to give us a picture of what it means in our context today, because we don't bring bulls and goats anymore into the auditorium, right? Do we? Maybe try to smuggle our pets in, but no, you know. But
But we don't do that anymore. But today, can I give you a mental image of what that could mean if we were still living in the old covenant today? All right, because there's this website, I was Googling and I discovered this website that actually allows you to put your date of birth into this website and calculates the number of public offerings that would have been made for you on behalf of you up to now on the 27th of August, 2017. You want to know what's my number? When I put my date of birth in, this is the amount of public offerings that will have had to be sacrificed on behalf of me. Can you see bulls, rams, lambs, so many? Total sacrifices on my behalf is 52,235 public offerings that had to be made for me if I was still living in the old covenant. I wonder how many bulls and goats and offerings and rams and pigeons and whatever else that has to be made for you based on your age. I don't know, some of you are Googling and trying to find out this website and put your date of birth in, and please feel free, but not now. Well, you may, because you're like, I can't wait to find out how much sin I've had in my life. I can't wait to tell someone of how much I've been set free, and I don't have to bring so many bulls, so many cows, so many rams. But this is outrageous, right? Can you imagine that people had to be bringing their sacrifices in various festivals, various events, once a year, the Day of Atonement, the Yom Kippur, where the whole community had to do that together just to be cleansed and atoned for their sins. Aren't you happy that we don't have to do that today? And everybody is silent now. Either you are just trying to imagine what it is for you, or because you are in awe that indeed this God is or has been a one sacrifice. And let me just read this verse that we read earlier. Hebrews 10, verse 1. The law is only a shadow. Someone say shadow. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. I mean, this is good news. This is so good news that we don't have to bring in year after year, repeatedly, sacrifices. And it says in 10:11-14, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, someone say one sacrifice. One sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Someone say hallelujah. This is good news. This is good news that we don't have to have thousands and millions if you accumulate every public offering to bring to the priest, to God, on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or a yearly basis, because Christ is enough. Someone say Christ is enough. He has paid it all. That one perfect, unblemished sacrifice. No one could have taken his place. No one can be that perfect offering. Not even to today. We all need Jesus to atone for our sins. No one could fit that bill. And only Jesus can to wipe away our sins. Took care of that S word, S-I-N with a capital S. Sin is dealt with at the cross because he was the perfect sacrifice. We're going to go straight into our point two now. The way of the priest. The way of the priest. There's a lot of shedding of blood. There's a lot of mess that had to be handled. And who handles this mess? At least in the Old Testament. Who does this? The priest. So messy. And the priest was just not anyone. It had to be someone who has been anointed, appointed, ordained, consecrated. If you look back at the first mention of the book of Genesis 14, that's where the priest was talked about. The king of Salem, the high priest, which his name is Melchizedek. If you remember the story of Abraham, going to rescue Lot, and on his way back, he met this king of Salem, this high priest called Melchizedek. There was the first mention, and this person prayed and blessed Abraham, and Abraham gave him a tenth from all that he's gained from war. And that was first mentioned. And the priest is someone, and later you read about, from the tribe of Levi, or the Levites, became that priesthood, became the people that will be serving in the tabernacle. And then you have the sons, Aaron, from this tribe of the Levites, and his sons being priests. And today, of course, we don't call, hey, you're a priest, you know. But we indeed are a royal priesthood. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, what does it say? You as living stones being built up as spiritual house, being a holy priesthood, offering your sacrifices acceptable to the Lord through Jesus Christ. I want to say this about our offerings as a holy priesthood, or a royal priesthood, as it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, we're a holy nation, a people belonging to God, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But we offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And my question is this: what have you offered to him today? What kind of sacrifices have you offered to him today, unblemished and not blemished? Because it's so easy to offer what's left over, what's of lesser value. Even unintentionally, we bring our leftovers. When we read in Leviticus, only the best will do. Only unblemished sacrifices will do. There's one game that, guilty as a father, who introduced my children to this game called Leviticus. You can find that and don't play it now, but after the celebration, so you learn about Leviticus. You can actually slash sacrifices, perfect sacrifices, the bulls and, you know, goats that come out, and then you gain points. But the moment you slash a pig or an imperfect, someone said, pig, oh, see you, char siu hao, you know. But, okay, we're living in today's, okay, never mind, you're different. But the moment you slash an imperfect bull, game over, all right? But that, what do we offer unto the Lord? Do we offer our best, or do we offer our leftovers? And I want to say I'm so grateful, we are so grateful as a church, for people who are serving God week in and week out. You know, there are people today that came early, not just to attend class, you know, like our discipleship Bible study class, but to teach class. There are people who came early today, resonate, not just resonate, but the dew crew who come in early every weekend. These are the behind-the-scenes champions, I would call them. They serve faithfully. They come many hours before celebration just to get the place in order. They're ushers, they're security volunteers, connectors. They get the place in order, in ready for people to come to this house. The people here that have made sacrifices, giving your best, and that no one has noticed, and I just want to say, commend you for that. Thank you for giving God your best. But at the same time, there are people here, you're saying, hey, Yala, maybe it's not my best. Maybe I can give God more, not just to earn brownie points, but because he has given us his best, his one and only son, Jesus Christ, perfect sacrifice for our sins. Someone say amen. And maybe some of you may be challenged. What is that to give God our best? You have been giving faithfully, but is that our best? Something the Lord may want to challenge you about. But let's go to Leviticus chapter 8, because this is the chapter where it talks about the ordination of Aaron and his sons as priests. Let me just read this to us. He then presented the other ram, the ram for the ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on its head. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and the big toe of his right foot. I want to read this, just bearing in mind that we are also a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We may not be priests today, but we are a royal, holy priesthood. And there's some truth to this that we can identify from this, even this passage here, because it talks about Aaron's right ear, right thumb, and right big toe. Some of you are looking at your thumb and your big toes now, okay? Blood was sprinkled not just on the altar in this ordination process, but also on the ear, on the right thumb, and on the big toe. And there's something symbolic about this thing that we want us to catch today, because our ear speaks of the words that either we listen to, or we process, or we speak, or we consume. Our thumb, our right thumb, speaks about the actions that we commit, that we do on a daily basis. You know, our big toe can speak about our walk with God, with one another. So the question is this today, even as we reflect upon what it means to be called, appointed, what it means to be a royal priesthood, what it means in those days at least to take account and to be consecrated in the ears, in our thumbs, in our toes, how does that affect us? How do we handle our words? How do we handle our actions and our walk? I'm a person, my love language, and my wife knows this, she's not here today, but my love language is words. And I think some of you who work with me, you all know that I tend to write very long emails. I just gave it away, you know. Or I tend to say a lot diplomatically, like, okay, not, you know, but sometimes in the multitude of words, there is also the event of sin and saying too much. And sometimes I tend to say more than I need to, and I need to remind myself to zip. I mean, yesterday morning, we had our ministry leaders retooling, and we were talking about, Pastor Ben was bringing us through some leadership stuff, and one of the volunteers said, hey, I've got to learn how to zip, you know, because we can talk too much, we can overpower others, you know, and this is a learning process for me as well. With more words, there's more tendency of saying the wrong things. But maybe for some of us, it's our actions. What have we done to someone this past week itself? Or what have we just done to someone in the parking lot out there just this morning itself? Or what have we said to someone? How is our walk with God? Now, one of the things, it's a journey. I shared this yesterday with the congregation. It's a journey of learning how to carry myself even on stage. And I remember several years ago, a close person, said this to me. He said, hey, when you worship lead, you know, don't be full of yourself. Like that, silent. I was like, what? You just said that to me? Really? I was doing it for God, you know? It's all about Jesus. We all say that, right? But you know what? I was convicted to evaluate. Say, God, yes, I know I'm doing this for you, but is there any tinge or hint of me doing it for the affirmation and the approval of others? Do I wait for the affirmation and the approval of others after the service or celebration? Say, hey, good job, well done. And if that doesn't come in, how do I feel? And I realized I was dealing with the area of pride, the area of being self-focused and sufficient, and no matter how many times I've done it, I cannot take for granted. And so much so that on that season of my life, I said, God, whenever I come up on the stage, whether to chair, to speak, to preach, to sing, may I never upstage you, God, and me. I never stage it, because it's so easy when you're familiar, so easy when you're doing what you're doing to do and to walk away from how you're meant to walk with Jesus. How's our words, our action, and our walk? I want to say this right here, that as we talk about the priests and the priesthood, there is the great high priest. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the great high priest. And here's the truth of the matter. What is mind-blowing is atonement. What is mind-blowing is that we can present, we can be saved and rescued from ourselves. There's this whole thing about atonement. Once a year it happens, you know, that major event in the Old Testament where people bring their offerings. And atonement, if you break it down, there's also the word at-one-ment, which talks about unity, which talks about, actually to me, this describes how we need to be at one with this God. That's why we bring our sacrifices, we bring our praises, Old Testament, at one. But Jesus, the beauty of it, he wasn't just the perfect sacrifice. He wasn't just the perfect lamb. He was just wasn't just the one that was sacrificed, but he was also the great high priest who gave the sacrifice. He was a great high priest who gave of himself, being the perfect, the only perfect sacrifice. And that's mind-blowing. And because of that, we have direct access to the Father, to God. We have a reconciliation to this God. You know, can you imagine if we need to come and say, I need to see a priest, I need to go through a priest today, but he has done that, you know, that only he can do. Jesus paid it all, and Jesus gave him himself, and he is now the great high priest. Someone say amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Hebrews, or 1 Timothy says this, For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Jesus Christ. That's why we exalt Him. That's why we worship Him. That's why we talk about Him. That's why it's not enough not to preach about Jesus. That's why we want to point us all back to this Jesus who is the perfect sacrifice and the great high priest. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 says this. Maybe I'll get us to read this together so that it won't sound so loud. You sound loud with me together. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Christ is enough. If priests had to be selected from men, or in Leviticus days, what was so different about Jesus was that he came to earth as a man, sinless, but he took your sins and my sins, and he died for us, and he became the perfect sacrifice. And he became the great high priest because he loves you so much. Christ is indeed enough. It's so good to know when I step back and just, you know, take it in that we can approach God freely, His throne of grace freely, lift up our hands, sing to Him, give Him our best, freely have direct access. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Just think about somebody you admire. I was going to call it an idol. Hope it's not an idol. Somebody that you celebrate. Maybe for some of you, it's some Korean actor like Soo Jong Ki or Soo Ji Sub. Some of you are laughing because you know who I'm talking about. You know, maybe it's some celebrity you admire, or some tennis player, some athlete. You know, you only wish you can go direct and say, "Hey, I'm Alex. You know, do you know me?" No. Okay. You wish you could go direct, but most times we can't go direct. There's a protocol. I mean, even some of you are saying, yeah, even pastors wear protocol. Yes. Okay. Well, because it's a big church. But we pray that we don't seem like that to you, that we can have, you can have direct access as well. But Jesus, because of what He has done, we all have direct access to Him. We all can approach His throne of grace boldly. Because we also understand that He understands our weaknesses. He empathizes with us. He created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And some of you need to know that today. And be reminded about today that He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you're coming in, you're going out. He knows your weaknesses, what you've done, committed, things you're ashamed about. He's paid it all. He's done it all. And He is the solution. If there's a sin, there's a solution. And then also there's a process of sanctification thereafter. Christ is enough. If you're trying very hard to earn brownie points, to look good for Jesus, stop doing that. Because Christ has paid it all. And Christ is enough. We're going to go into the final part here. The wonder of Christ. We'll talk about the weight of sin, the sacrifices, the amount of sacrifice that if today we still live that way, just imagine that number. Then we talk about the perfect sacrifice in Jesus. And then we went to the way of the priest. Ending with Jesus as our great high priest, as the solution. Once for all, the law couldn't satisfy that, but Jesus fulfilled the law. In fact, He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And now we move on to the wonder of Christ, because I think we still need to rest our eyes or fix our eyes on this Christ that we sing about, we talk about, and we stand in wonder. On this picture here is a stained glass window, and this is what I found out. This is actually the largest stained glass window in one image in the world. This is the largest piece. Now, there are larger stained glass windows in different parts of the world, but this is one big stained glass window where it's not disjointed in its image. 160 panes. And this stained glass window has a measurement of 100 feet or 30 meters wide and 40 feet high. Now, just imagine what that looks like. And this morning I checked, I said, roughly how big is that? The size of it would almost be from that end of that screen to the end of the screen. This is the size of the stained glass one image picture that is found in a Methodist church in Kansas, in U.S. And this church, really, the architecture, they designed the way to reflect many things of the Bible. And this tells, why I bring this up to you today, is not just for art's sake, okay? But art helps us to imagine and to put ourselves even in a picture here, because this talks about the story of the Bible and the heroes of faith and the saints of the faith. And at the end, what's interesting, it even contains people like John Wesley, John Calvin, Billy Graham, and it ends with a tree in the Revelation. Now, the reason I present this picture at least gives us an idea, and Jesus at the center of it all, is because one of my favorite passages is this: Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Someone say amen. He's not just the starter, the founder, but he's the finisher, he's the perfecter of our faith. There's a story that we are part of. And Hebrews chapter 12 says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, man, people have gone ahead of us, so many of them, great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. And it says this, fixing our eyes, some translations put looking unto Jesus, right? Fixing our eyes, looking unto Jesus, who is both the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, let me just finish. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a image to behold. Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Many times I've prayed this prayer. I've said, God, you're the pioneer and perfecter of my faith. God, thank you for the faith that I have in you. Thank you, Lord, that you got me saved. God, I'm saved in you. But I forget, when I read this again, now someone said that Hebrews is like a New Testament version of Leviticus, because indeed, many parts of Hebrews talks about the new covenant and compares it with the old covenant. And so when we read Hebrews chapter 12, and we come to this verse, and we see, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside everything, sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with endurance, fixing our eyes, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Then I realized that it's not just your tiny race that you're on, but you have many others who have gone ahead. And now when we look at Jesus, indeed, he's the pioneer, because way back, we read in Leviticus, all the things that had to be done to approach God, this God made a difference. This God is that one perfect sacrifice. This God is the great high priest. And now we sit here and we behold his glory. We cannot stay still and we cannot stand still, but to stand in awe and say, God, wow, this is the God I'm looking at. The pioneer and perfecter, together with other cheerleaders, I would say, who've gone ahead of us, and behold his glory. And we are part of his story. We are part of this story, this narrative from day one. We're not just alone today. We're not just DUMC members. We're part of a larger body, the living stones that is building up a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, offering our spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. And for such a time as this, someone say amen. Christ is enough. We're going to draw to a close right here today. Even Jesus declared it in Scripture. Can I just read to us as I invite the musicians back on stage? John 5:39 says, you search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the Scriptures point to me. And when Jesus said that, there was no New Testament then. When you talk about the Scriptures, you talk about the Scriptures of the Old Testament. Even Jesus spoke about that. Luke 24, verse 37 and 31 says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself. And then comes to this, then Their eyes were open and they recognized him. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. I pray, we pray that today your eyes and my eyes will be open as we see Jesus and behold his wonder and glory and declare it that Christ indeed is enough. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes as we pray and just stand in awe of his presence right now, just in silence for a moment, beholding his wonder, his glory, his magnificence, and the sacrifice that he has made for us, and him being the perfect sacrifice, and him being the great high priest, like no other one could replace him, could take his place. No one as worthy as our King of glory. No one as beautiful. No one as mighty to save. He has paid it all. He has done it all. Our glorious King, that we stand in awe this morning. Well, we're going to sing and worship Jesus this morning. We've done it this now. We've done singing. But I'd like to invite us as we sing this song together to behold him, to be in awe of him, that beautiful name. Can I invite us to stand to our feet as we worship together, declare his name, and then I'm going to issue a couple of challenges for us to be mindful of, to pray together as a congregation, as an individual as well. So as we sing this song, let's really fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name.
Challenges we want to make this morning. Perhaps in listening to this message this morning, you've caught different things. Some of you are in pain. Some of you are in confusion. Some of you need clarity or just need to be reminded of the hope that we have in this Jesus. The world is in a mess. Things are happening all around us. And you wonder if there's hope. You wonder if it's worth going this way, following Jesus. Now today, I want to say this to us, it's worth following Jesus because He's done it all, He's paid it all. Your faith that you have or you are trying to discover is not just now, but it's a faith of generations that lived in the past because our God was alive way back then. Still alive, still working, still rescuing people from their situations. If you are the person you are searching, you are seeking, you're lost, you feel like, oh gosh, I am confused. Let me just remind us that He has paid it all and He wants to say, come back home where the heart is, where you belong to. And we're going to invite our pastors and leaders forward to just stand by to pray, because at the count of three, I'm going to make this call. Now, perhaps you have been searching. You have not been to church except for weddings, but you're here today and you're saying, hey, I've got to get to know this Jesus who was the perfect sacrifice. And today you're saying, God, if there's a God, let me experience this Jesus. The simple thing that you need to do, there's three words that I want to present to you. Sorry, thank you, and please. Sorry, Lord, for all that I've done and committed, even sins that I know, don't know that I've done, committed unintentional, intentional sins of commission or omission. I hereby want to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you're a Christian, you're saying that as well. But that's sorry, thank you is the next word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price with your own life, the perfect sacrifice. You gave it all. You gave your best. How can I not offer my life to someone who's given His all for me? And the third thing is this. Please, please come and live in and through me. Take control of my life. I belong to you. So if you're that person, this is a crowd. I know it's sometimes scary, but it's between you and God. If you're here, you've either been backslidden, you've gone away, but today you're reminded, He has paid it all at the count of three, and you want to find Christ and answers to your life, even if you have criticized this faith that you've heard about, but today you want to say, I want to explore and experience this Jesus at the count of three. Would you lift your hands up and put it down so that we can pray with you? One, two, three, across this room. Is there anyone? Lift your hands up and say, I want to know this Jesus. I want to come back to this Jesus that you've been talking and preaching about. Is there anyone in this place, in the gallery or below, right here? Anybody, lift your hands up and put it down. Because Jesus, indeed, is the solution. Anyone in this place? Anyone? Anyone in this place? We're going to wait a few more seconds as the Lord speaks and ministers. Some of you have been trying so hard, been trying to work your way through your own efforts, through your own accolades and achievements, to try to get somewhere and to be in good standing with God. But He's saying, hey, try no more, because I'm the answer. I paid it all. I've redeemed you. I bought you with a price. This message is for you. Is there anyone in this place? Just lift your hands up and put it down so that we can pray for you. Anyone in this place? Anyone? We're going to wait a few more seconds. Anyone? If not, I trust that all of you have a relationship with God and you have a journey with God as exciting as you encounter Him daily. Now, this second challenge is this. We talk about our words. We talk about our actions. We talk about our walk. And maybe for some of us, we have, as we behold His glory, we realize that, wow, woe is me, like Isaiah chapter 6. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And today, as you behold His glory, as you stand in His presence, you realize that, God, I've sinned against you. I've failed you. Time and again, I've committed this same habitual sin, either with my mouth, with my actions, or how I've walked with you and with others in my life. I've offended many people in my life. And today you want to say, God, I need you to change me from the inside out. I confess my sins before you today. You have paid it all, but this is so important that we recommit and resurrender our lives again to Him this morning. And if you're the person, we're going to sing the song again. I want you to respond to Him as you rededicate, recommit your words, your actions, and your walk to Him. Amen. Amen.